Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Open up with prayer and believe God together. Father, we come before you this morning and humbling ourselves before you under your mighty hand, trusting you today to do exactly what you said you would do in your word. By the mighty Holy Spirit, bringing answers to questions, solutions to problems today, quickening your word, Lord God, in the heart of each listener today, bringing revelation, knowledge, and understanding, illumination to the eyes of their hearts, that they may take the word and possess it for themselves and walk in the light of it. I ask that you would grant me unction and utterance by the Holy Spirit. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words today. I ask this, Father. Help me to articulate it well, with accuracy, clarity, simplicity, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for this, that Jesus, you may be seen, glorified, and magnified today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. How many brought your sword of the Spirit with you, your Bible? Amen. This Bible is your lifeline. It should be as a believer, as a Christian. It's your lifeline. It's what holds your life together. It's what declares what kind of life you're supposed to have and live right here and now on the earth. Not when we get to heaven, but right here and right now. Amen. So let's make this declaration together. I thank you, Lord, for your word today, that I believe I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I receive the incorruptible, indestructible word of God into my heart. And I believe I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So be it. Well, we have been sharing in here and talking about what does faith look like, what it looks like, what it doesn't look like, and the difference between the two, because we found out in the four Gospels, there are at least 19 different cases of healing, and 12 cases out of the 19, Jesus said, what? According to your faith be it done unto you. So it wasn't all on Jesus or the disciples when they were sharing. It was all about the people, what they were hearing, what they were mixing their faith with, and what they were doing with what they were mixing their faith with. It wasn't just enough to come and hear the word. No, the people came to hear and be healed. So obviously there was an expectancy from the people. There was a pull and a draw from the people on the word that they were hearing. They were believing, expecting that word to work in them just as much as it worked in the one that they saw maybe healed in the multitudes right before their eyes. So we have to learn that when it comes to the God kind of faith, it's not all about what Jesus can do. We know what Jesus can do. It's all in about what you can believe. Just like when he directed that man that came to him with the son that was demon-possessed. Yep. And the man said, Lord, help my unbelief. I've just seen my son tormented all these years, and your disciples couldn't cast it out. And Jesus said, it's not about what I can do, it's about what you can believe. So I'm sharing that same thing to you today. It's not about what Jesus can do, it's about what you can believe with your heart. And so we've been finding out what does faith look like with our hearts and not with not just head knowledge. It's not just sense knowledge where we got to see it, feel it in order to believe it. Because if we're seeing it and feeling it, then we don't need faith. We've already got it according to your seeing and your feeling. But when it comes to the Word of God, we're believing it before we see it or feel it because God has said it. Like Brother Hagin said, he wrote in the front of his Bible, I got it written in mine. He said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Doesn't give you no plan A, plan B, plan C, option two, option three, no. God, you said it, I believe it, that settles it. So in other words, I have to align my thinking. What are we to do with our thinking? Our thoughts are to agree with the thoughts of God. And we have the thoughts of God in every one of these books of the Bible. That's His thoughts about us and concerning us and who we are, what we have, and what we can do in this life. Yeah. So we have to learn to agree with God. When we agree with God concerning what He has said about us in spite of what we're seeing or feeling, when you agree with somebody, you begin to express your agreement through your words out of your mouth, because the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue can put you over in this life, or your tongue can defeat you in this life. Our words. Take it seriously, Jesus said. Your words can bring salvation. Your words can bring damnation. Take your words seriously. So we all have to learn to take control over our mouths and learn to speak what God says about us. And do you know that that's a lifelong process? We never come to a place where we've reached the, okay, I'm there, I've got it, that's it, I'm going on. No. This is a process all of our lives. We're training, retraining ourselves to what? Speak what God says about us. Right. That's agreeing with Him in our minds. Yeah. Thoughts are going to come, people. Thoughts are going to come that are going to bombard your mind, that try to talk you out of what God says about you. And then with the thoughts comes the devil puts the pressure with symptoms, feelings. So with the thoughts comes the pressure of the feelings. Trying to do what? Talk you out of what God says already belongs to you. Yep. Healing already belongs to you. According to the Word of God, He sent His Word, Psalms 107, verse 20. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. You sent Your Word, You healed us, and You delivered us from all our destruction. God sent. Who was that? Jesus, His Son. He came in our place. He took your place. He took my place. He became our sin substitute, our sickness and disease substitute. It was laid on Him. What He bore, you need not to bear. What He carried, you need to refuse to carry. He carried your pains away. But what about if I'm feeling it right now, Pastor Debbie? Keep aligning your thoughts and your words with what He says. If your mind tries to remind you, say, well, you're feeling this. And your body says, oh, yeah, you got that pain right there. Don't forget that. You have to say, you know what? Body, you're not going to dictate to me and tell me what I have and what I don't have. Because remember, your body is not the real you. You are a spirit being. You possess a soul. You live in this physical body. The body is not the real you. We have to get a revelation of that and understand that. Right. Your heart, the Bible says, with the heart man believes. With the heart. Faith is of the heart. The God kind of faith is of the heart. With your heart you believe, and with your mouth you confess. The supernatural, like Brother Hagin said, it swings on two hinges all the time. You'll never get away from this as long as your life is here on this earth. Yeah. What you believe with your heart, what you say with your mouth. Not just in the time of crisis. Right. all the time. We're learning to train ourselves to speak it all the time. Bad times, good times. All the time. This takes work. It takes energy. It takes work. It takes on your part to stop. What does Dr. James tell us in the book of James? Be slow to speak. Yep. James chapter 1, verse 19. Slow to wrath, but quick to listen. Listen to what your heart is telling you. Listen to what the Word of God tells you. Because if you've been planting that word in your heart, well, how do you do that, Pastor Dick? The word gets planted in your heart by you continuing to meditate on it, like in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your... The book of the law shall not depart from your what? But you shall meditate therein, what? Day and night, that you may observe and do all that accordingly is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Think on it. Dwell on it. Mutter it over and over and over again. Never get tired of muttering it. Saying it over and over again. You'll have marvelous opportunities in your life to either make the most of that opportunity that's been presented and given you, or to waste that opportunity that's been given you. Time, you can make the most of it, or you can waste time. God gives us a time. It's a gift from God, and if what we do with it is our gift back to Him. So when He gives us that time, we're to make the most of it. In other words, make it count for eternity. Yeah. Do something with what you're hearing. Do something with what you're listening to. Right. Begin to practice that in your life. Begin to exercise it in your life, because it does make a difference. It does. If you're spending your 50% of your time sitting before the TV, watching all these movies, watching all the news, watching all these host shows, and all, do you know what it's feeding into you? Doubt, unbelief, and fear. But if you're listening to the Word, you got a good CD playing. Maybe you do like I do. I got the Bible, the audio Bible. I'll play it for Pastor Chris now. I don't care how many times we've heard it. In the mornings, I say, all right, love, we're here today in the audio Bible. This is where we are today. Let me put it on. We're going to listen to chapter 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, and 6. We're hearing the Word. So it's our feeding in the morning, our feeding in the nighttime. Hold on, hold it before we go to bed. We're going to hear the Word. What, Pastor David, you're a fanatic. Yes, I'm a fanatic for the Word. Hallelujah. I know what works in my life. I know what has sustained me and held me and kept me and put me over. Well, that's just too much. Well, you got to get past that. That's your decision. That's your choice. You're the one that makes. That's why I said it's important about what we do with the time that's being given us. Are we wasting that time, or are we making the most of that time? Because every moment counts in this life. It counts. It's either helping you to be a success in this life, or it's defeating you and stealing and robbing from your life. You choose. You choose. Hallelujah. So what does faith look like? And we started looking at Thomas, and we know what Thomas did. What? Thomas had to see it in order to believe it. But Jesus addressed Thomas right away. He said, Thomas, stop doubting. He said, Thomas, blessed are those who what? Believe and have not seen. Jesus talks to Thomas right away and addresses him. And then we went from Thomas to Abraham. We looked at Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Where Abraham chose to what? Believe the promise of God. God told him, I'll make you the father of many nations. Yep. Abraham decided to grab a hold of the promise of God, the word of God. He held to that word, and he began to do exactly what he saw God do, call those things that be not as though they were until they are. He began, because the Bible tells us that God the Father, he set that faith example before us by beginning to call those things that be not as though they were. He sure did. And we got the same kind of faith, so we can begin to call those things. What do you mean? Call your body healed when it don't feel like it. Say, body, I call you healed in Jesus' name. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. I believe God's word. And you say it, and you continue to say it. Don't stop saying it. Abraham, we found out that what? He didn't waver in his faith. What do you mean waver? He didn't stagger, go back and forth between his feelings, what he saw, what Sarah looked, what the circumstances looked like. It was impossible in the natural. He chose to believe what God spoke. I'll make you a father of many nations. So he grabbed a hold of that promise and he made it his own. The Bible says that Abraham stayed fully persuaded. He was fully convinced that what God had said, he was able to perform. He didn't waver. He didn't consider his body. He considered it, and then he decided, no, it's not no good to consider that. That ain't going to help me a bit. Here I am, 100-year-old, 90-year-old Sarah. I'm 100-year-old. No, I can't consider her or my, no, uh-uh. So he decided to consider it not. But he did consider the promise of God. And so what? He was fully convinced. He was fully persuaded that what God had said, God was able to do for him. And guess what? It happened. Sarah got pregnant and had a son, the precious son, Isaac. Isaac, hallelujah. So what does faith look like? Well, we know what it doesn't look like with Thomas. We don't have to see it and feel it first. Nope, nope, nope. That's sense knowledge faith. We're not moved by our senses. We're talking about the God kind of faith. So Abraham believed the promise of God over and above what his physical senses of body was telling him, or what somebody else's body was telling him. Hallelujah. Then we looked at what? We looked at the woman with the issue of blood. What does faith look like? The woman with the issue of blood. She heard about Jesus. So obviously, she heard something good about Jesus, that he was what? Acts 10:38. He was going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. The devil is the oppressor. Jesus is the healer. Yeah. She grabbed a hold of that word. She got it into her heart, and then she decided it got into her heart, and it began to what? Affect her mouth. Yeah. Because we found out that the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that she kept saying, if I can only get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. Yeah. Her faith brought her action. Yeah. It moved her out of where she was to her answer. Right. She got to Jesus. We don't know if that she was so weak that she had to crawl through the multitudes, the crowds, just to touch the hem of his garment, because that's what she kept saying. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. She might have been so weakened from the disease. She had spent all that she had on all these doctors, many physicians, but the Bible says she grew worse. It got worse, not any better. She was poor. She was broke. It was a hopeless situation. Your situation might be hopeless, but with God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37. And then Mark 9:23. What does it say? All things are possible to them who believe. Here goes that word. You mean that word again, Pastor Debbie? Believe. Yeah, that word again. Faith is a noun, but believe is a verb. It requires action. Hallelujah. Yeah. So The woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through opposition. Yes, she had opposition. Can you imagine? We don't know how much of what she went through. The Bible doesn't get into all that explanation about that. It just says she kept saying, she kept saying, she kept saying, she kept saying, she kept saying until she got there. And she touched it. And the moment, what? The moment she touched Jesus, just his garment, not even his physical body, she touched the garment that she kept saying, if I can just get there and touch the garment, immediately there was a what? An ability and a power out of Jesus that flowed out of him and went into her. And she recognized that power going into her, but he also recognized the power going out of him. He said, somebody put a demand on my ability. Woo! That's what our faith will do. Yeah. Our faith will put a demand on the ability of God, which makes no situation impossible. Nothing. Doesn't matter how far you might seem under your circumstance right now. Even those online, we welcome you this morning. Doesn't matter how bad it looks, how much you might seem to be under that circumstance, what it might feel like, look like, the reports that are coming at you right now. There is a report from the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:1. Whose report will you believe? We believe the report of the Lord. What is that? Jesus himself took my infirmities. He bore my diseases, sicknesses, weaknesses, illnesses, carried my pains away. By his stripes I was healed. Woo, those words have power, especially when they get down into your heart. At first, if you're just becoming convinced and persuaded by the word, then you're schooling yourself in the faith. But you have to keep saying it in order to keep schooling yourself in the faith until you become fully convinced and persuaded in here, and it begins to paint a picture on the canvas of your heart, and you see yourself. You see yourself because the word has painted a picture that you're healed and whole. You can have what you see. When you're fully convinced and it paints the picture right here and you're speaking it, that force of faith that comes out of your mouth and begins to attack. See, you got to remember, when that force of faith comes out of your mouth and you begin to speak it to that circumstance, situation, sickness, and disease, that the moment you begin to do that, that a death blow has been struck at that very moment to that situation, that illness, that sickness, that death blow has been struck to it because of your faith-filled words as a faith force that's coming out of you, out of your innermost being, out of your spirit, out of your heart. It's a force that can't be stopped. It's unquenchable, and it will do exactly what the Bible says it will do. Move mountains. Remove mountains. Remove mountains out of the way. It's that force of faith that's coming out of your innermost being. But you have to know that. And when you're speaking that and declaring that, hallelujah. And so with the woman with the issue of blood, she got what she believed for. What does faith look like? She got out in the crowd. She took a chance. She said, I believe God. If I can get to Jesus, touch the hem of his garment. Touch the hem of his garment. I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. She didn't quit. She didn't give up. Then last week we looked at Paul, who was on the ship with 275 soldiers. He was 276 of them. On the ship when a big storm arose against them, when Paul had told them, I think this voyage is going to be much harm to us and our lives, not only the ship and the cargo, but to us and our lives. We could lose our lives here. But the captain chose to listen to the captain that was running the boat instead of what Paul said. And so the big storm, they set sail. We found out they set sail, and a south wind is blowing real easy on them. They thinking everything is looking good. We're going to get to where we said we're going to get. Paul has said he's appealed to Caesar, so to Caesar you shall go. And so they're on their voyage, and then boom. all of a sudden the south wind shifts, and then a great big strong, the Bible says a strong northeaster comes down on them. Whoa, who do you think's behind that northeaster? The enemy, of course, challenging them. And so here they go. They're out there. And in the midst of that storm, Paul gets a word from heaven. An angel appears to him, we found out, and told him, said, Paul, be of good cheer. He said, don't fear. He said, your life and all the men with you shall be saved. Not one hair on their head shall perish. That's a pretty good promise. Not one hair on your head. That's a good one. Yeah. And so Paul tells the men, he says, look, men, cheer up. Cheer up. We have something to be cheerful about. 14 days have gone by. It was dark. It was dim. It looked sad. It looked bad. It was not good. It looked hopeless, like they were going to all lose their lives. We're talking about what does faith look like. So Paul had gotten a word from heaven. And we found out in Acts 27 and in verse 26, where Paul said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Paul tells those men on the ship, look, cheer, it's time to cheer up, guys. I got a word from God. It shall be even as it was told me. There shall not be one life lost on this voyage. God has stood, the angels have stood beside me this night and told me we shall all make it to land safe. Sure enough, it happened, just like Paul said. But Paul tells the men three times. It gets looking so dim. It gets looking so dark. It's not good. They're throwing the cargo off the ship. They're throwing a lot of their food, their supplies off the ship, trying to keep the ship from sinking and being destroyed. Some of them try to escape secretly off the ship. And Paul says, what? Unless you stay on the ship, your life won't be saved. They were trying to do it their way to save their life. God says, no, there's only one way here. Stay on the boat of faith. Yeah. Stay in the boat of faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't try to do it your way. No. Stay in the boat of faith. Do it God's way. By my stripes, you were healed. Yes. Paul, 276 of them made it to the land, the island. Not one life was lost. Did it look dim and bad? Yeah. It looked like they were going to lose their life. But they didn't, because of one word that Paul got from heaven. Be of good cheer. I believe God. It shall be, even as it was told me. What did Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12? I know in whom I have believed. Have believed. I know in whom I have believed. It shall be. I know in whom I have believed that let me go there. Hallelujah. I know in whom I have believed that there shall be a performance of those things that I have spoken. Hallelujah. I want to say the right thing here. I know in whom I have believed that he is able to guard and keep that which I have entrust it to him until that day. Thank you, Lord. So Paul, what does faith look like? He got a word from heaven. It's the same way with you and I. The importance of getting into the word for ourselves and getting a word from heaven for yourself. Not trying to act on somebody else's word that they got in their situation. But you getting into your own prayer closet, quieting your mind, listening to your heart, and listening to what scriptures might come to you by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And then you take in those scriptures that he prompts, that he gives you, that he quickens to you, Sometimes I like to say it like this: in the mornings when you get up early, before your mind can get engaged, there could be songs rolling over in your spirit. There could be scriptures that are rolling around in your spirit. And before your mind can get engaged, your mind can pick that right up and you begin to speak it. Well, it's a reason. It's a reason it's rolling over in there before your mind gets going with all the things that it's got to think about that day. Get those scripture songs in your heart and begin to what? Speak them out loud. Get those scriptures in your mouth and speak them, declare them. What's revealed to you has to be spoken through you. Let me say that again. What's revealed to you needs to be spoken through you, through your own lips and mouth. Because you taking the time to hear and listen and receive a word from God. Whether it's 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Psalms 107:20. Whatever word he... It's because we're taking the time to meditate and get in there and listen. Not on what somebody else did or what they heard or what they got. What did you hear? What scripture is he speaking to you? What is he telling you to do? Like I've shared about in my own life in different times when the things have come against me and I've gotten in my prayer closet, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this situation? And sometimes I heard, you can have what you say if you believe it in your heart. So I knew immediately I was to attack it with my words out of my own mouth. There are other times I would hear, praise your way through it. So I would just praise. I'd just take hours, day by day by day, just praise him and thank him. Thank him for the sickness. No, thank him that he's already healed me. I just begin to praise and spend days praising him, thanking him, blessing him because he had healed me. Yes. Sometimes it was one day. Sometimes it was 1 hour. Sometimes it was 6 months before the symptoms left. Was I moved by the symptoms? No. Did the devil try to remind me? Yes. Like I said, when that cancer popped on top of my knee, and I began, I said, Lord, all right, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? And he said, I heard him say, speak. You shall speak to it. You'll have what you say if you believe it in your heart. So I knew I was to attack that cancer on top of my knee by speaking to it, calling it dead, cursing the roots of it, saying, how dare you? You're trespassing on God's property. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The life of God is in me. You're trespassing. I rebuke you. I curse you. Get out of my body. And I point to it. I put my hand on it and say, cancer, you're dead. You cannot spread. Cancer, you're dead. You cannot spread. How long did you do it, Pastor Debbie? I did it until I got the relief that everything was fine. I didn't wait to see it or feel it. I just kept doing it until I got the release in here. That's another thing. You don't do it until you see it disappear, because that's going by what you're seeing. You do it until you get the release by the Spirit of God in your heart. It's done. It's done. It's done. It all lined up. Every bit of it lined up. No more. Gone. Did it happen right away? No. We got to be determined to stick with it. To stick with the word. Even when it don't seem like it. Even when it don't feel like it. We got to be determined. What does faith look like? To you, it could look like something different from the person next to you. Your faith is putting it in action. You hearing. Paul heard. Abraham heard. They all heard. It's what you're choosing to do with what you're hearing. Let it get down in your heart and produce that action. So many times we're looking for these microwave instant results. We live in a kind of a microwave, instantaneous world that I get it right. I get it right now. Yeah. But it's not about that. Because remember what I said? Sometimes your faith can produce an instantaneous result. Sometimes your faith will produce a process result. The thing is, what do we do when we said, we have to hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which thou hast. Through our confession, through resisting the devil as we should, through praising and thanksgiving yes. to God, that his word is true. He'll see you through. He won't fail you. He won't let you down. He won't disappoint you. God will never do that. We ourselves get in the way of that. We have to get self out of the way. Self wants to get in there and try to take control. No. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? Yes. You're quiet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we're going to look at another situation today. Glory to God. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings, the Old Testament. 2 Kings today. We talk about what does faith look like. Hallelujah. So Paul was trying to tell them on the ship, cheer up, joy, 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 through what? We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. With joy you receive the end of your faith. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, you receive the end of your faith. Your faith has a beginning, your faith has a middle, your faith has an end. Yeah. And the end, joy is the bridge between believing and receiving. When you believe God, you cheer up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does faith look like? Tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Through joy and peace, believing God. Joy, there's joy and peace when you're believing God. What does faith look like? There's joy and peace when you're believing God. You cheer up. Hallelujah. Even when it don't look like it, ha, 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 Mr. Yeah. Devil, no, it's not what you saying, not what I'm feeling, ha, ha, ha. It's what the Word says, glory to God, praise yeah. God, ha, 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 glory. Yes, are you kidding, Pastor? No, I'm not kidding. This is real. This yeah. is real. So here we are in 2 Kings chapter 7, and let me just paint a picture here for you. We are looking at an impossible situation. You might be facing an impossible situation. Here we see the Samaritans. Their land was being ravaged by a famine. The enemy troops had surrounded them, cut off all their sources of supply. Mothers were eating their children just to survive. It was bad. Do you get the picture? It was really bad for the Samaritans, an impossible situation. But we see in 2 Kings chapter 7 and in verse 1, God spoke through the prophet Elisha and told Elisha the prophet that within a 24-hour period, there was going to be a whole turnaround. Within a 24-hour period. Glory to God. So right in the middle of what the Samaritans were facing, what they were dealing with, the famine, the enemy surrounding them, mothers eating their children just to survive, right in the middle of that, the Lord speaks through the prophet Elisha, and he tells them the whole situation is about to change within 24 hours. So let's start in verse 1. It says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, here we go, that's a 24-hour period, a measure of fine flour will sell for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned, verse 2, answered the man of God and said, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Oh, he's questioning the word of the Lord through the prophet. But Elisha said, here's the prophet saying, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Woo, that's pretty stern words right there. Now, in the midst of this, who in the world would God use to turn a whole situation around that looked impossible? He's going to use four lepers to turn this whole situation around. I want you to get this picture now. He's telling them flour and barley would sell for just a few pennies and that there would be abundance for all of them in just 24 hours. That's pretty good. So here comes, so here's these four lepers now. We want to think about this one minute right here. Verse 3, now four men who were lepers were at the entrance of the city's gate, and they said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? If we sit here, we're going to die. Verse 4, if we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we die also. And so now come, let us go over to the army of the Syrians. If they spare us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we'll just die. But if we sit here, we're going to die. Now, these four lepers are ones that decided to not be pitiful and just be pitiful and just talk about the situation and just stay right there and be passive with their believing and just stay right there and die. No, they said if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in there, we're going to die. We're going to get up and do something. You cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. Don't let the devil take you through the pity party. Poor me, why me, oh me, Lord God. No, quickly get yourself out of the pity party. Because you cannot exercise the God kind of faith, be pitiful and powerful at the same time. So let's look at these guys. So verse 5. So they arose. They get up. They begin to do something. It says, so they arose in the twilight and went to the Syrian camp. And when they came to the edge of the camp, no man was there. Think about that. Verse 6, for the Lord had made the Syrian army hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army. Woo! Because these four lepers decided to get up and do something. Just like you and I with our faith, not be passive and sit back and wait for it to come to us. I'm just waiting, Pastor Debbie, for something to happen. No, God is waiting for you to get up like these four lepers and begin to do something. Woohoo! So when they got up and began to do something, what happened? The Lord had made the Syrian army to hear a great noise of chariots and horses. And so they took off running and left their camp. They were the ones that were surrounding the Samaritans. Remember, they were surrounded. They were in a famine. The mothers were eating the children just to survive. It wasn't a good situation. But when these four lepers decided to get up and do something, just like you with your faith, Don't stay there and keep waiting on God. No. Begin to do something with your faith. Act your faith. For the Lord had made the Syrian army hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army. Woo! Glory to God. That's the God that we serve. A great army. Chariots and horses, thousands and thousands of them outnumbered. Glory to God. They said to one another, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to come upon us. They're thinking, oh boy, this is a plan. This is a setup. This is a setup by the enemy. Verse 7, so the Syrians arose and fled in the twilight. They left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. Here's the enemy. They're fleeing for their lives. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes. Remember, that's part of our holding fast, holding to that which is good. Resisting the enemy. Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent. They ate, they drank, so there was plenty of food. There was plenty of water. They carried away silver, gold, clothing. So there was plenty of everything and more. And they just went into one tent. One tent of the enemy's camp. Are y'all getting this? Because four lepers decided not to be passive and you just sit there and die. No, don't just sit there and die because the doctors say you got 2 weeks or a month. No! Get up and begin to do something with your faith, just like these four lepers did. Do something, bless God, with your faith. Begin to say, begin to do. Hallelujah. So they ate, they drank, they carried away silver, gold, clothing, and went and hid them in the darkness. Here these four lepers are. They're like, man, we done come and found a spoil. And so the first thing they wanted to do was hide it and hoard it all for themselves. But then they got thinking about it. Because in verse 9 it says, then they said to one another, we're not doing right. Think about that. They're like, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. Well, think about that. You got good news. Every day you got this good news right here. And these lepers said, look, we're not doing right by hoarding all this on ourselves. No, this is a day of good news. We need to go tell the king and to the Samaritans what's happened here. There's a great spoil for everybody that will last all that we need it to. Get us out of this famine. Get us out of this situation. Come on now. There's enough healing in the Word of God to get you out of your situation. Yes. Doesn't matter how bad it looks, how far under you feel you under your circumstance or situation. There's enough healing in the Word of God. Remember what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. God's Word is life, healing, medicine to all our flesh. The Word of God has the life, the healing power, the medicine in it, all that you will ever need for any situation in your life. It's just you got to learn to take your medicine, the right kind of medicine. Hallelujah. And so they go back. So it says, so now come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they go and they tell the king. And when the king shows up, they tell, he said in verse 14, so they took two chariot horses, and the king sent after the Syrian army, saying, go and see. They went after them to the Jordan. Verse 15, all the way was strewn with clothing, equipment, Syrians that had cast away in their flight, and the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, as the Lord had spoken through Elisha the prophet. He said, in a 24-hour period, this situation is going to turn around. There's going to be so much barley and flour that it's going to be just sold for pennies. Come on now. Come on now. And we're talking about four lepers who didn't just sit there. They decided to do something. We got to act our faith. We got to do something.
Yes.
Do something with what you're learning, what you're hearing, what you're being taught. Don't wait on the Lord. The Lord has done everything. He's provided the spoil that you need for any given situation. Healing belongs to you. It's already been provided for you. He's waiting for you to rise up and take it. God, you said it's already been provided. It's mine. I receive it now by faith. It's mine. Just like I said with Brother Hagin, when he began to believe the Word of God out of his grandma's Methodist Bible, and he believed God for his heart condition. He believed God for his paralysis. He believed God for his blood condition, because the doctor said, if one won't kill you, the other one will take you out. So it's a hopeless situation. But when he began to act his faith, because the word had gotten down into his heart, into his spirit, he said he began to act. He began to pull himself up in the bed. He began to throw his legs over the side of the bed. Was he still paralyzed? Did it still look bad? Yes. But he began to act his faith, even though he didn't feel it or see it.
Right.
But he believed it. He said, I believe I receive healing now for my blood condition. I believe I receive healing now for my heart condition. I believe I receive healing now for my paralysis. And the moment he declared it with his mouth, because it was real to him in his heart, it became a force out of his mouth, and he began to act his faith. And as he began to do it, he said, as he was standing by the bed and holding himself, the power of God hit him on the top of his head, went through his whole body, out his feet. And he said he caught himself standing there with it on his own by the power of God. Because he didn't wait to feel something first and then throw his leg. No, no, no. That's not believing. That's not the God kind of faith. God wants us to believe it before we see it or feel it. But because he has said it, he's spoken it. God, that's why I believe. You said it, that settles it. That's all I need. Your word is enough for me. Your word, oh God, is as good as if it is you speaking right here to me. Yeah. Jesus standing right here in front of me now saying, I have gotten this for you. It belongs to you. It's yours. Take it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So these four lepers, they got up and they began to do something. Stand to our feet. Praise God. If God can use four lepers to turn any situation around, come on now. Every one of their enemies had been frightened away because those four lepers decided to get up and do something. The enemies were frightened away, and the angels of God came and made those sounds and those noises like chariots and horses and a great army. And it brought fear into the enemy, and the enemy fled. Hallelujah. There was enough of everything left behind to take care of them. No more famine. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, all things are possible with God. You might be facing a hopeless situation, an impossible situation, but with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
And then in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, all things are possible to them who believe. Believe in it, because you're fully persuaded, you're convinced in your heart. God, what you have said is so concerning me. I believe that for me. It's mine. I possess this right now. Healing is mine. Devil, take your hands off my body. Pain, leave in Jesus' name. And whether it's 1 minute, that very moment, 2 weeks, 2 months, hold steady. Be steadfast with your faith. Hold on to what God has said belongs to you. Through your what? Your confession, resisting the enemy, praise and thanksgiving. Paul said, be cheerful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. You need to be strong, especially when you're going through a test and a trial, especially when it's dealing with a physical situation. You need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Ephesians 6:10. But also, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. All of that is, what does faith look like? Don't let the devil steal your joy, your peace. Yes. Keep that switch of faith turned on by saying, I believe I have received. Yes. I believe I have received my healing, my wholeness, my health. Devil, take your hands off. Health, divine health belongs to me. I've been promised I can walk in divine health all the number of my days on this earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for your healing word. Thank you, your word never returns unto you void. It goes out, it accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. Hallelujah. So, we thank you today that your healing word went forth. Through the words that were spoken, I believe the people grabbed a hold of what they needed for themselves. Hallelujah. Believed it for themselves, received it for themselves today. Because it's not a hard thing with you, and it's not a hard thing for us. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for everything you've done. Through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is ours. Freedom is ours. Liberty is ours. We are the winners, not the victims. We are the overcomers, the victors. So we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you're in here today.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.